Wow, guys, that was spicy.
Spicy.
Being on the other end of that thing and looking back at what we just did, what a rousing, tight 30-minute of conversation about what comic shops do with spicy comics. Whoa!
It may have gone a little longer than 30 minutes.
No, the editor's good.
Tightest 30 we've done.
It was tightest 30 we've done.
Yeah, yeah, but not to say it wasn't a dirty 30, because it was a dirty 30.
It was certainly a hard conversation that we had.
Oh, Brian.
Come on, I've been innuendoing all over this place. This is going to be a good episode. Can I do the thing?
Do the thing.
An all-new Data Bros starts now.
Coming to you from top secret field offices worldwide, these brave men and women fight a battle for truth, justice, and good clean data. These agents of change make up the Bureau of Records, Objects, and Standards. They are the Data Bros.
Whenever you're ready, Jen.
Well, welcome to the Data Bros. This is your 30-minute weekly appointment with us, the Data Bros. We talk about the comic industry, comic book data, and what goes into running a modern comic store. I'm your host, Django, and with me are Brian and Jeff,
that's
the sound
me.
Effects man.
I'm Jeff.
Hey, fellas.
Hey, guys. Gentlemen.
It has been a minute.
But
I think we can all agree we're recently very much back on schedule, even though it's been a minute.
Well, I mean, we're about to be back on schedule. So
there's a new emphasis amongst us, and that's recording and distributing in a timely fashion.
Absolutely.
And if anything has been our message in season two, I think it's been that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Season two, all on time.
Yeah.
Yep. Just like a comic book.
All on time, all the time.
We're going to release these on time, on schedule, but we're never going to release what the expected schedule is.
Yeah, exactly. What that schedule is none of your business.
Yeah. You mind your business and we'll mind ours. And our business is knowing what the schedule is.
We're just plucking drops of retail knowledge from the dew of the gods and giving it away to these people for free. Don't ask us the schedule.
Love it. Fellas, did you hear the news?
What?
What's that?
I went out and I got us a sponsor.
Really?
Where'd you go to?
Yeah. Well, I found this company, new real up and comers. I think they're called Kamiko, but it may be Comico. I'm not sure. Comico Comics or Kamiko Comics.
But same problem with Unico, right?
Yeah.
Unico. Unico.
Let me read you the copy that they provided me.
Excellent.
All right. It goes like this. Ready to meet some of the wildest, most unpredictable characters in comics? Say hello to Kamiko Primer Number 1. This is where like a pronunciation guide would help, because maybe it's Comico Primer Number 1. I don't even know.
Exactly.
Where you will find an all-star cast of crazy, curious creatures. We've got Victor, the brooding mystery, Slaughterman, who's as tough as he sounds. AZ, bringing the edge. AZ, I guess. See, again, pronunciation guides will really help with my Canadian accent.
Yeah.
Maybe it is as. That sounds wrong. Bringing the edge. Mr. Justice, because every team needs a moral compass. And last, but definitely not least, Scrog, a name you won't forget. With Kamiko Primer, you're getting a first look at the chaotic crew that's about to shake up the comic world. So whether you're here for the action, the intrigue, or just the weird, grab your copy now. 32 pages full of creative awesomeness, and all for just $1.50. Ships October 8th.
Wow. October. Yeah.
That is a cheap paper quality, I would have to imagine.
Did you guys already order? Did you order that? Because it should have been on FOC like 3 weeks ago, right?
I haven't seen it yet. But I could, I'll check.
Kamiko Primer Number 1. Look for it in better stores. And apparently,
okay. So
maybe,
first of all,
this isn't a better store. I don't know.
Bold move. Finding and committing to advertising without talking to the other two guys.
I felt you guys would be on board.
I am on board, and I pat you on the head because I do approve of it. Just, bold. I hope you're categorizing it as bold in your head. Second, this sounds, and I don't mean to disparage it, but a little bit like an image, like a new image, like restarting the Image universe.
Yeah,
but with a different company, like Valiant restarting the Image universe.
So you know who's
fresh
behind
and
this?
New to me.
Sounds who is fresh behind and it?
New. Is this, did is you this Phillips' new thing?
I don't.
Is this what I the Sablik's up
is.
To?
Maybe it is.
He's we'll
know
you know
more
he's,
at New York Comic.
Okay, well, somebody should tell him a little bit about the Unico problem. You know, yeah, I'm sure he's versed in it, but
well, I think he's got a couple pronunciations we need, like you know, as or az or az. You know what is
okay.
It?
Well, I don't think anyone can disagree with the fact that you said 32 pages for $1.50, which is a fantastic deal. So
we're
I am
getting a heck of a ad read too. Like we've gone on for like 7 minutes of a tight 30.
And we're about a tight 30. That was a real theme in season one. And while it's still true, I think we can all agree timely recording and distribution is what we stand for now.
Timely recording distribution and tight 30s. April 8th is a Tuesday. Well, maybe they're being distributed by Lunar, so they're out on Tuesdays.
Yeah, I know we have the infrastructure for it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm super grateful. Thank you, Kimiko, and good luck in It sounds like it's from the 90s, but I have to assume this is from.
Now. Oh, this sounds why would fresh. You advertise something from fresh.
The 90s? Okay.
Or 80s even.
Okay.
We could. Could talk about some stuff this week that's not
what do you want to talk
Comico,
about
right I think we should talk about spicy comics.
That's good because my nipples have been tingling.
what do you, when you say a spicy comic, what do you mean, like something that's been on the last
adult comics?
Okay. All right. Yeah,
like
yeah.
Mature themes adult, is that your
That was the sound of my sound of the electrified nipples at the idea of this conversation about spicy comics and comic book retail.
Welcome to season two. It's darker.
Spicy. We're right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, we all have stories of having adult comics in our store. I guess probably not all retailers. Some retailers are very against it. Some of them don't mind. Some of them embrace it. I think in our store, we like to carry a little something for everyone. And we've got a black box that we can hear you open.
Mm-hmm.
That has some That's very awesome. Adult stuff in it.
Does it have a sound effect on it? Or is it just like really
creaky?
It's just a loud box.
That's amazing.
I bet Django's going to put one. I already know how we'll do it. Yeah, so sweet. Yes, it doesn't. But yes, we have it. It's a great idea. Django, was that when you put that together, was that part of your intent of using that box? I remember those boxes came in and I was just like, oh, this is a cool box. Oh, it's entirely sealable. I mean, it's just hanging out. We're going to put adult comics in it. Is that a happy coincidence? Because I would think in talking about spicy comics, you know, there's probably little tips and treats and tips
and tricks
you could mention to everybody.
I don't usually see you crack yourself up like that. That was pretty good.
Yeah, you know.
It's just a black box, like a black plastic bin from BCW.
Okay, one of those.
The goal was to get a black box and, you know, decorate it in notes that said this is 18 plus, but we won't judge you at the counter. But a happy side effect of using that box is that it's a little rattly when you open it. So
yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Well, as a Canadian, I can give you some perspectives, including like the spicy comics we're not allowed to import into Canada.
Please.
And I can give you some dawn of time back in the 90s, when I was actually working at a comic shop here and we had a ton of problems with the border, like stopping stuff. So we can talk a little bit about some of that stuff, some of the air cell stuff back in the 90s. Yeah. And Faust was notorious. Yep. Like my buddy and I used to smuggle Faust from Michigan over the border and just pray we didn't get stopped and bring in like
dangerous.
We'd sell them for like 15 bucks a pop and buy them for three, right? So we were making money hand over fist. That was back when a liter of gasoline was a nickel. And you wore an onion on your belt because that was
you wore the 90s boom well, Brian Garside.
yeah, so I guess we should define our terms, right? Like spicy comics in my mind are going to be 18 plus. There's probably gradients to that. In fact, I know there are gradients to that. Like the comics you're talking about, Boundless, it turns out, does have bounds, and it's around Canada.
Truth.
Not allowed to bring Boundless comics in there. And, you know, Boundless published some very, very adult content. One of my favorite things that we ever did was when we got a super gratuitous, very explicit cover in from Boundless. And
never seen a pterodactyl do that.
Yeah. we just started covering them with sticky notes with little descriptions or jokes on them, and put them up on the shelf, and they sold so fast.
That's awesome. That's so good.
Kind of became part of our business model for a minute, was selling censored adult comics.
Sticky notes. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because like Boundless is, it's not terribly bad, but there's been some Avatar stuff over the years, like Necronomicon and I think Lost Girls was Avatar too, wasn't it?
Was it?
Well, Avatar and Boundless was
Top Shelf when it was collected.
Because Avatar gets in here. Like, we can get crossed and stuff like that.
They're the same.
I see. So what you're saying is, like, probably today Necronomicon would be a Boundless book and not a
Neonomicon? No, I think it would probably
be Avatar. Neonomicon.
Boundless was just, like, just straight up nudity and sex.
Lookers.
And Neonomicon had some story to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Different categorical things, I would say, especially in terms of what you're getting out of them. I think it's hard to qualify it.
Here in season two, I know we're not doing our like data broification and all that stuff because it was really kind of hampering us. But one question I have is like, where is the data in this? Would you consider a mature or spicy comic something that has the mature yes? Or because we've got the two fields, right? There's mature and adult,
right?
And they're binary, so they're yes or no. By default, I think they're always no's. Right. Is mature the flag, or is adult the flag for this?
Mature could cover Marvel Max comics,
sure,
and it could cover Vertigo comics.
Vertigo, yeah.
But I think that adult is where it turns a corner to being. Like, I think it's the difference between R-rated and NC-17 or X-rated.
So currently we have Penthouse Comics, right? That mm-hmm. have just started recently. Mature or adult?
I would say adult, given the number of naked photographs of people in them. Can you guys get those in Canada?
I'm about to look. I know we can get them. Nice. I'm about to look at whether or not it has the mature or the adult flag on it.
Theoretically, if it's adult, it should also be mature, right?
Yeah, it has mature, but it adult is no. N.
That seems
even
like
for the one,
an oversight to me.
Yeah, like because there's a polybagged front cover, and like that one, and it says NSFW, and it's still adult no. So this is something that I think we should talk about too, is like the distributors and publishers are not being consistent with this stuff.
Yeah.
And we know that's a case for everything, right? So like to me, these NSFW covers should definitely be adult. They should not just be.
Well, and like it matters because we're headed towards such an online version of comic book stores. And if we can't filter out actual adult content before it hits Shopify, we could get in trouble as comic stores. And there's just too many comics to do that manually every single week.
Yeah. What I'm noticing is they do have like polybag kind of covers on these, but some of these guys are pretty spicy.
Yeah. And that is literally how they come in.
That's a pretty spicy cover, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Although while strictly not actually showing nipples, but yeah, I mean, that's obviously where they're drawing the line. It's interesting. You know, I think talking about spicy comics, talking about adult comics, and where it's like generally like more sexual things, but then the conversation around like mature and adult yes. themed things is interesting because like it dovetails really nicely into like the last 2 months or a couple months of Marvel Comics with like the Red Band comics and the way stores are ordering and stocking those, or the way even we're ordering and stocking those, and like which one we're stocking more of, which would be the Red Band more violent one, you know, but it's flagged all over it literally saying mature content, you know, so again, things get like that get treated differently than like sexual stuff, because I think people are less likely to just buy a thing that's sexual in nature in a comic shop if it's polybagged like that, although there's definitely some, than there versus the people that would be doing it based on violence. Yeah, it, like, you know, violence as a novelty, which is one of the two main mature things, sex stuff and violence stuff. And then
what's funny is in the data, Wolverine Revenge is not flagged as mature.
Right. And the cover would tell you that it certainly is. But then also we're producing things for the mainstream to be more mature than a standard expectation, but still probably capping out at some relatively tame ceiling for what is mature, mature. So yeah, like again, a Boundless comic or an Avatar comic mature is certainly not the equivalent of a Marvel mature.
Like you, doesn't that seem pretty weird though that that is not flagged as mature?
Absolutely, it should be. Yeah, it should specifically be. Because of that logo on there, which, sorry, that was my point, which is like they're saying it's mature, but is it mature? And if they're not representing in the data as mature, you know, it's kind of a sales gimmick.
Yeah, and also reading those books, like it definitely is way more violent. I don't think we're going to see Wolverine dropping F-bombs or Rogue without her shirt on, even in the Red Band version. But, you know, like,
What's that green pterodactyl's name in X-Men?
Sauron.
Sauron. I've never seen a Sauron do that.
So, yeah, I mean,
that was a callback. That was good.
That was a good one. This kind of goes back to the, you know, like the old question, what is pornography?
Right.
And, you know, it's almost impossible to define, and it's kind of a personal thing. So
isn't the joke that we'll know it when we see it?
Yeah. That means we get and to it's see not it the all, joke. So we can it's find the, out.
Yeah.
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 It's like a legal standard trouble, almost. Right?
So it's interesting to think about how different stores handle it. And then it's again, an interesting kernel for the conversation about like online sales and moving towards a more digital model, because you can patrol it as much as you like, but as a person kind of dealing with distributing those comics to people, you kind of, as a retail person, have to be gauging or making assumptions about perceived senses of what is adult and what is not acceptable, you know? Which again speaks to the importance of good staff hiring, but it's just some of the necessary skills with, I think, working in a comic shop and being able to read people in that way. And then a digital model, you know, loses that. So you are relying on flags and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. You're bringing up some really good points like that, those flags become now their liabilities if they're incorrectly set. Right. Like,
yeah,
if I'm giving a 15-year-old kid, selling them online without any sort of disclaimer or anything, because there definitely should be a disclaimer on those books that says this is a mature title and cannot be purchased by persons under the age of 18.
Well, do you remember like 3 or 4 years ago when Fun Girl was part of the Free Comic Book Day offerings, and it was hard, dirty, and looks like a kid's comic? And I think that they had it flagged correctly.
They did.
With the colors and everything. But if you weren't specifically sorting by color for age range, it would be super easy to accidentally throw that on the kids' table and have some pretty hairy jokes going up to six-year-olds.
Well, I mean, yeah, there were, in the last few years, I know, I remember seeing Red Room and stuff on the Free Comic Book Day tables, right next to, you know, whatever the DC offering or Marvel offering was that year.
Yeah.
And I remember one time Max had grabbed it because he was like, oh, this looks cool. This looks really kind of like aggressive. And I was like, it's a little too aggressive, but you're not gonna get that one today. Yeah. But I'm really well versed in comics. The average person that's coming in on Free Comic Book Day isn't going to see that unless there's a staff member really policing that pretty tightly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it becomes really important to kind of rack that stuff differently, which leads to, you said your black box, but when the new issue of, you know, Booby Hunter Monthly comes out, where do you rack that?
Well, when it was Boundless and we had a great excuse to cover it up in sticky notes with dumb jokes, we just covered up the really dirty bits and put them on the shelf next to Batman, like top shelf, so they weren't down with the kid stuff. And that's where we keep Penthouse Comics at this point also, is top of the new shelf.
Yeah.
But we also use that shelf for like Distillery Comics, right. Mm-hmm. And other oversized comics, which I think is a smart move because it doesn't just say these are adult comics, you know, mm-hmm. like it's, you know, it forces one to catch their eye. But yeah, kids aren't able to get it because we have probably inconveniently tall shelves in our store. But in this specific and small instance, it's a benefit.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, we have a handful of adult or grown-up sections in the store. Above our manga section, like very, very top shelf, is where we keep like Sunstone and what else is up there, Jeff? Lost Girls would probably be up there.
Yeah, all sorts of stuff, like Humanoids, French stuff. Dick Fight Island is up there, if we have it in stock. But yeah, there is particularly a lot of adult manga that is up there. But yeah, then we have that separated to a different shelf as like just the general kind of Humanoids Press or Lost Girls or whatever adult stuff that's up there.
I think we have like four areas, maybe five if you include the underground comics, which are also on a top shelf, like five spaces for adult themed books.
And it's always interesting, like the people that come in for it aren't all the people that you would expect to be coming in for it.
For sure.
You know, that portion exists, but it's, like the number of couples that come in and are just totally tickled by those very sexual older comics or more modern comics, like, you know, they'll buy a bunch of them and they always come back. It's an interesting, like, you know, try to be real pro sex positivity in a comic shop. I do, that is, yeah,
even just describing the plot of Sex Criminals in a casual way is kind of a needle to thread, because like I've sold old ladies that I would never guess would be into a comic book at all on that book just by giving them like a frank explanation of what the conceit is. And you know, it's definitely a dirty book. Probably doesn't deserve to be in the porno section, but it's certainly mature.
It's got wieners in it for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I a couple of weeks ago saw like an older woman standing there reading that book, and I just kind of like did what I normally do. I was like, oh, that's a fantastic book. But like right after I made that sound, like she jumped and was clearly mortified that I had seen her looking at a book called Sex Criminals and like put it down and didn't say a word to me and just like walked off. It was pretty good.
That's a fine line.
Nice try. You got it.
You can be the creepy guy too, right? You're my age. You don't go up to a 25-year-old woman and go, oh, Sex Criminals, that's a great book.
Yeah, I know. she was a lot older than me.
It's funny too, because some stuff, like you mentioned Distillery and Somna. Remember, Django, I picked up a couple copies when we were in Pittsburgh and we were on the bus, and you're like, you're probably not going to want to open that right now, because I was just like leafing through things. And you're like, yeah, that's probably not appropriate. I'm like, well, I am on a bus with all comic retailers. I think it's probably okay.
Right.
They probably opened it up before. But yeah, I had no idea. I had no idea what I was getting into. So yeah, and there's no warning on that thing. Warning, do not open up on a bus with mixed company. It does not say that anyway.
That's why you keep a Django around.
Yeah, I can smell
it. He'll let you know. Yeah, I bet he didn't even open it yet. He could just know.
He just knew it was porny.
Yeah, I mean, and I think, sorry, Django, please.
Oh, no, you.
I was going to say, you know, there's just other interesting aspects, like, you know, stalking, intentionally stalking adult, you know, like sexual adult things is like, you know, you want to be very good with representation, but also it speaks to like having a limited view of what I find sexual, because everybody's got a different thing, which is awesome. For sure. So you want to cast as wide of a net as you can. But I always worry about not having, you know, representation by who would, anybody that could come in the store. Like before the pandemic, we had a girl come in that I had recognized from like my college classes, and she was with like, you know, somebody else, I can't remember, but she was like asking for like porn comics with nudity. And I was like, yeah, we got some. And I brought her back there, and she's like, specifically, you know, like ones that show male nudity. And I was like, oh, I have much fewer of those. And now yeah. I feel kind of dumb. So like, yeah, it's just a whole kind of can of worms with the idea of trying to provide for it. So like, it's, you know, important to have good lists that you could turn to that could highlight good adult series of all different kinds. Call to action, anybody listening to this.
Send us a list.
Yeah, send us a list, or like, you know, somewhere that stores could know that they've got a great cross-section of representation and, you know, adult-themed things in the sex department.
I think that the overwhelming majority of stores don't carry adult stuff on purpose.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I think we're kind of a smaller slice. You know, because we have board books in the front of the store, and we have Red Room and Boundless books in the black box in the back of the store. Like they're not impossible to get to for anybody. But we have like literally the full array, and I'm sure someday it's going to get us in some amount of trouble.
Yeah.
You know? Like it's absolutely a liability, and one that I'm willing to have an argument with somebody about. But you know, an employee accidentally selling a super porny comic to a 16-year-old could be really bad news for us.
Yeah.
Is that something you guys have run into a lot, where, you know, people are bringing up stuff that's clearly inappropriate for them, sneaking it into the middle of a pile?
I haven't noticed that.
Yeah, not that type of adult comics, but like, you know, there's always kids who want a more adult comic than their parents want to get them.
Sure.
So like there is some amount of like quote unquote policing you do if it seems like that's the kind of situation.
We had a kid show up one day with his mom, and he came up to the counter. Like first thing he came up to the counter, he's like, do you have anything with witches in it? And I was like, witches? Yeah, we got some stuff with witches. And I started bringing him over to the kids section. He was probably 12 or 13. And the mom heard me, and she was like, no witches.
No witches.
And I was like, well, okay. Sorry, bud. I can't get you witches stuff.
No witches.
And like 15 minutes later, they come up to the counter, and he sets down Walking Dead Volume 1. And the mom's got some other stuff and other books. And I start ringing him up, and I looked at the kid, and I was like, I got to rat this kid out. I was like, just so you know, I would put this book at like a hard R. It's got crazy violence and swearing. And
but it has nudity. No witches.
That's what she said. She's like, are there any witches?
No,
like, no, there's no witches. She's like, oh, we're good then. Take it. It's like, all right.
That's amazing.
Like, I guess,
yeah,
you know,
our hard R is a witch.
In this home, R stands for witch.
Is there, as we kind of wind things down here, is there any advantage to carrying, like, because you said you think, and I believe you, that you're probably in the minority. Like, I can only think of a handful of stores, and usually you have to seek it out. Although, remember Edie's in Pittsburgh? There was like the whole second floor. Like, old school 1980s porn back room.
Like videos and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like VHS and DVDs.
Yeah. Django, did you go to the antique store in LeConnor that has Playboys, like every month of Playboy from 1955 to 2000? And you're just like, good Lord. $15. Yeah, that's overpriced.
Yeah.
Yeah, is there an advantage to being, I mean, is there a disadvantage? Yeah, what do you guys think?
I think that if we looked at the numbers and the time involved and the square footage involved, it would probably be worth not carrying them. Right. But I think that as a store that wants to highlight the full breadth of creativity and like what a comic book can do, I think it's important to have some of that stuff in stock. And it doesn't mean like we don't push it by any means, but we've got it and we're not ashamed to have it.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Yeah, I think that was very well said. For me, I think about it as just like being able to be as valuable to as many different people as possible. Like that's what I want that our comic shop to be, a place that, yeah, like can be valuable in all sorts of different types of expression of interest, especially if it falls under the umbrella of comic book.
I would love to hear from our retailer friends and our publisher friends, because mm-hmm. I think this is one of those things, especially from a publisher perspective, that has softened over the, oh, that's a bad pun. It's softened.
Brian!
Quite a bit,
right?
Like we wouldn't.
Oh my God, you minx.
I'll let the timestamp so you can.
Oh, cut it out.
I couldn't imagine Image in the 90s running something like Sex Criminals, you know? And so.
Right.
Images is
but they were running Gen 13.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. 100% cheesecake all day long. But yeah, there was a difference between that and, you know, full on weens. And
right.
And so much of that, I think, is just like the climate of the times and the culture around it. Right. You know, like we're in a lot more sex positivity and respect given to that. Sure. So they're like, yeah. And I think, you know, that amount, you can't have a book like Sex Criminals without it having be built on the foundation of respect.
Yeah.
You know, like that's a core aspect of it, which is one of the reasons it's so great. So yeah, like again, it kind of requires the passage of time and culture to be in a certain spot.
Even just like recently, the Distillery book Missionary starts out with a pretty spicy scene on the first page. So yeah,
I read that today. It was pretty great.
It was good, hey? Really good.
I mean, you know, having that kind of thing, not having that in the book, I think would have lessened that comic.
Yeah. Yeah,
and like, I think it's important to have a channel to be as creative as somebody wants.
Yeah,
you know, it's
for sure.
Definitely not something I would hand one of my kids, even though they are pretty young or pretty old. But you know, I like that we're in a place where we can have stories that kind of straddle that adult, non-adult.
Nice one.
It straddles.
Oh, well, listen, everybody, this is going to be the hardcorest episode that you're going to see us do. This is like the beginning of the second or third season of Miami Vice, where it turned violent and scary.
Oh yeah,
remember that? Where
with Phil Collins on a wall.
Crockett's punching the ceiling and. Anyway, we want to hear from you.
I think it's like a Unico thing. I don't know.
It is very Unico.
Yeah.
We want to hear from you, publishers, distributors, retailers, fans. I can't imagine that just normal old comic fans.
Bring us your porn.
Send us your porn. Except for Brian, because he's in Canada. And again, that whole.
Send it to Bellingham. Yeah. I'll go pick it up in Bellingham. Yeah.
That's a good excuse for you to come here. So write to us at podcast@databrosinc.com. Don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to Data Bros Inc. on your favorite.
Who wrote this?
Your favorite podcast app, or watch us online at youtube.com/databrosinc.
Yeah.
Cool.
You can go to youtube.com/@databrosinc.
You'll find the Data Bros and all of our projects at databrosinc.com. You can also learn about the Comet Standard at cometstandard.com.
I'm Brian Garside, and you'll find me on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Managed Comics, where you'll discover everything you need to know about Managed Comics, or visit managedcomics.com.
I'm Django, and I'm generally hip deep in code for Comic Shop Assistant and hanging out at the Comics Place in beautiful downtown Bellingham, Washington, with my buddy Jeff.
And I'm Jeff, the aforementioned Jeff Figley. You know, you can find me if you just close your eyes and click your heels a couple times, say my name or think my name really hard. I'll be there.
Until next time, keep broing your data.
No, we don't do that on this one. That is not how we close these out.
Oh.
BROS forever.
Nice.
I love it. Bros forever.
The Data Bros is a joint project from the teams behind Comic Shop Assistant and Manage Comics. Data Bros are Django Boren, Jeff Figley, and Brian Garside. Brian Garside produces and edits the episode. And you'll find more about the Data Bros online at databrosinc.com. Subscribe, like, and review the Data Bros on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.